You're listening to the MicroConf podcast. I'm Rob Walling. In this MicroConf Tactics episode, you're going to hear how TinySeed helped Harris Kenny grow his SaaS to $500,000 of ARR. This episode is audio pulled from our YouTube channel. If you want to check that out, you can go to microconf.com/YouTube or click the link in the show notes. And if you want to hear a special behind the scenes coaching call that I did with Harris, head to tinyseed.com/bonus. This was a call where I was giving him advice on whether he should raise funding and helping him think that decision through. We happened to record it and he agreed that we could release it to the world. So I've never released anything like this before, an actual coaching call, but that's at tinyseed.com/bonus. And with that, let's dive into the meat of the episode.
When I first started working for myself, I wanted the independence that comes with that. And then I realized that some business models are better than others. And so I tried a few times to crack a software product. It felt like I finally got it. When our SaaS was getting feedback, we were getting good prospects coming in. We were running into tricky problems. It felt like I was finally solving a problem that people actually wanted solved. I joined TinySeed to help pursue that. And you know, here I am a year later, up on Sinks at $500,000 in annual recurring revenue. We've got a great team. Because we joined TinySeed, I really believe that it put us on trajectory to be where we are now. And I'm feeling really optimistic about where we're going next.
Today, I'm talking with Harris Kenny, founder of Outbound Sync, about how he used seed funding from TinySeed, the B2B SaaS accelerator I run, to turn a low-code MVP into a full-fledged SaaS business doing over $500,000 a year in annual recurring revenue in just about 12 months. We're going behind the scenes of what really happens after you join a startup accelerator. We'll talk about what the TinySeed program looks like through a founder's eyes, how Harris decided where to invest the funding and the thinking behind those moves, the unexpected benefits of being part of an accelerator, and make sure you stick around till the end to hear the surprising advice he has for other founders like him. Let's get into it. So Harris, before we get into what happened after you joined, take us back. Where was your business right before joining TinySeed?
I was running an outbound agency and we were a HubSpot solutions partner. Basically just realized these tools didn't talk to each other. And after a few years of testing a few different SaaS ideas, it felt like this might be a good one. And I pieced something together with low code, refactored it into full code. And that's when we started building momentum. And I felt like I was getting in over my head. That's what prompted me to apply to TinySeed.
Do you recall what your MRR was?
Yeah, we were around like 7,500 MRR at the time. And now a number of those were bundled with clients. So it was pure software subscription, but there were a lot of things that we were doing that weren't like a normal SaaS would be. I just knew there was a big gap between how I was running the business and how and where it could get to, but where it was at the time.
And right from the start of the program, you were making a lot of moves to grow your business. Let's talk a bit about how you spent the money that we invested and how you decided what to spend it on.
Well, one of the indications that we were onto something is that I started getting prospects asking about SOC 2 and vendor compliance, and I didn't know what they were asking for. And so I just basically lost a couple deals. And as it came up more and more, I came to feel like this is going to be an important part of our business. Like we should probably get SOC 2 type 2. So that was one I got pretty quickly. And I mean, it's funny, but it was, let's just say, rounded around $20,000. And we closed a $20,000 enterprise deal, like literally within a month of getting it. And we flew through that procurement process because we had the documentation. And we have subsequently closed, a bunch of deals. I mean, every couple of weeks, one will request access to our trust center. They see the docs. They're happy with the report. We close the deal. So that was one that was just really obvious and like a really clear ROI that you can't even really dispute. But I think that for me personally, it was like shutting down the agency and going all in on one thing. I definitely used the proceeds from TinySeed to get myself fully committed to the business. And I think that focus was a huge deal. I couldn't keep doing multiple things. Being a solo founder of a software company or even a co-founder of a software company, like that's a full-time job. And I was juggling just too much before. I just couldn't keep it up. So that was another huge one for us and for the company, for me. Was just hiring myself, buying out my time so I could focus on building. And then other hiring decisions were big. We also saved money in some areas because of the TinySeed perks. So like there were areas where we needed to upgrade our tech stack, but it actually didn't cost anything because TinySeed has all these perks and benefits for portfolio companies. So There were actually things that on paper should have cost us money, but ended up being free that I was expecting we would have to spend the money on. So it's kind of funny how that worked out. Definitely the Tiny Seed Mentor sessions and community helped me with allocating that capital for sure. I mean, broadly, it was like hire people, invest in some of these compliance things for sure. But then there's also smaller things. I think what's tricky about being a bootstrap founder is that there's actually not a lot of great advice for you out there. I mean, sure, there's MicroConf and there are some different places online where you can find some things. But just in general, most of the advice is indie hackers where, you know, they're just trying to like piece together a bunch of apps or build things that are like $5 a month. Or you've got these venture backed companies that have raised a ton of money. So there is this weird gap of knowledge. But unless you're listening to Startups the Rest of Us and MicroConf, like you're just not going to get a lot of it. And as great as those things are, and I consume them both religiously, like sometimes it's helpful to just talk to a panel of, you know, a couple hundred people who are doing it and just get like a bunch of other ideas because just people are going through it right now and they're in that same company size. So definitely the community helped me with spending money, but I would say more so spending time of like, dude, don't worry about that. Yeah. Or yeah, you should be focused on that. What are you doing with pricing there? That's weird. The way you just said you're doing pricing, you should think about that. You know, so I think that was maybe more of the, like even more valuable was just like attention and time and think about this or don't think about this.
You joined our spring 2024 cohort. And from a founder's perspective, what did the first few weeks of the program look like?
Well, the first week was huge because we met up with our cohort. Everyone got together. When I decided to go all in on my SaaS and shut down my actual agency, quite a few friends who ran agencies reached out to me and said that they had been curious about what I'd been building. And now that I wasn't a direct competitor with them anymore, they wanted to try it out for some clients of theirs. And so, I mean, I'll always remember Andy Kim from Trotto and my cohort. He helped me flesh out the idea for what would become our partner program. And that's the majority of our business right now. And it's a huge part of our growth. So, I mean, that one 30-minute conversation before breakfast was like worth the price of admission. But that alone, I think, really changed the trajectory of the business. But it was just learning the basics of how's this thing supposed to operate. I'm making the money in a SaaS way. I'm using Stripe. I've got customers that are signing up for a software product, but there's so many other things about running a software company that I just had never done before. And so it was just figuring out what those things are and just being okay with some parts of the business were really just not there yet and that was okay. And just sort of getting a license to just say, leave that alone for a second. You can worry about it later when you have enough money to pay to fix that.
And so it sounds like you got a lot from the in-person retreat. And then once you were back home from that, you started joining our Tiny Seed Playbook calls and our mentor sessions. Does that extra structure actually help or did it feel like extra work?
The value of the structured program with Tiny Seed, I think it was just looking at every part of the business. You know, it's like you're cleaning the house and it just makes you go in every room and one room is fine. I mean, you don't need to do a lot of work there and it's not a big deal, but it's just like worth just double checking and making sure that you cleaned it in the first place kind of thing. You're like, oh, I forgot to make the bed and then I move on. So that's what it felt like. It felt like the structure of the program just took me through the different parts of the business. Some areas needed a lot of work. Others, we were in a pretty good spot, but I feel like sometimes you kind of have to have that like forcing function to look across the whole company. And then other areas, I haven't even really still haven't applied the playbook yet because we're growing into that. You know, and some of these things I'm still doing myself that hopefully one day I won't be.
And to give listeners an idea, we have 8 playbooks that cover mindset, marketing funnels, pricing, sales, marketing, team and hiring, M&A and fundraising, and burn rate. Were there any specific playbooks that you felt were especially useful for you?
Hiring, no question. I needed help. And it wasn't really clear to me at the time, but we needed more engineering hours and we needed customer success. And those weren't things that I was thinking about necessarily going into it. Frankly, I had not been very successful hiring people in the past running my agency. I had some good people who I like really enjoyed working with, but I also had a lot of misses. So being able to just see how, you know, 200 companies have done it before, it's like, look, work with this recruiter. Here's like 5 example job descriptions that other Tiny Seed companies have done for customer success. Read them, do your own twist on it. And, you know, that person has been incredibly effective contributor to the team. And then, you know, other conversations, I remember we were at a table and, you know, we're talking about developer productivity and output. And it was just like, man, they're not working anywhere near enough hours. They are still split between other projects. Like this is a no-brainer. bump them up to full time. Like, get this thing, you know, get people fully focused on what you're doing. And there was just things that were really obvious to people in the room and to you, and obvious in the playbooks that I just didn't, you know, I just had total blind spots on. So yeah, the hiring one was a no-brainer, and that I feel like set things in motion that had that basically made everything else work since we joined.
Was there anything you didn't get from the Tiny Seed program that you thought you would?
I mean, honestly, this is kind of cheesy, but Tiny Seed is literally what it says on the tin. Like, if you read the website and you read the FAQ, that is what it is. I can't think of like a higher praise to give about like someone's marketing than it is entirely truthful. But my expectations were, now I've been listening to, you know, and reading your work for a long time, so I felt like I had a sense of what I was getting into. But still, Tiny Seed is a specific implementation, or it's a specific idea. And it has totally been my experience. There has not been this pressure to grow at all costs. There has not been really, you know, invasive needling and questioning and challenging our strategy and, you know, pushing to do these wild things. But I will say one thing that has been maybe demonstrated more than I would have guessed, or has come up more than I would have guessed, is the optionality concept. Like, I really think that is like infused into how Tiny Seed operates as an accelerator, but how the team operates and all that. You really do hear people talking about ideas around raising more money or, you know, exit options for them. You know, it really feels like everyone is trying to build businesses, and businesses can have many outcomes and businesses can have many transformative events. It does not feel like everyone is trying to pursue the same exact goal of hitting the same exact MRR in the same exact way. And so that has surprised me a little bit, the like variety of decisions that founders are making, and how agnostic Tiny Seed itself is about that. Is I didn't expect it differently, but the number of different situations that come up, you sort of can't anticipate that, because when you're so early and you're just trying to build something and hoping like anybody cares, these different things don't come up at that time.
Yeah.
But then you grow, and then, you know, somebody gets a nasty gram from an attorney, or something happens with an employee or a contractor, or an exciting growth thing comes up, and just like, there's just so much that can happen. And I think that the flexibility and the sort of steady hand from Tiny Seed through all those things has been interesting. And I didn't know to expect it, I guess. I didn't even think about all the like things that could go right or could go wrong, because I was just literally just trying to like pay my bills and get anybody to care about what I'm building.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate that, because my co-founder and I put a lot of thought into this word optionality that you said. And so if someone's watching this and they're thinking like, what does that even mean? I want to let people know, like, there are a lot of Tiny Seed companies that never raise another dime of funding after Tiny Seed. There are a bunch of Tiny Seed companies that raise 100 to 500,000 from angels and from our syndicate and from other places. And then we have Tiny Seed companies raising Series A's that have raised $6, $10, $13 million, right? So that's what optionality is, right? Once you take a venture, you leave some options on the table. And once you go down certain paths, you cannot, you know, they're often one-way doors, and we've tried to make Tiny Seed not that, right? We've tried to make Tiny Seed give you a lot of flexibility into what you can do, because you hinted at it, but when you're first building a company, you often don't know how big it can get. You may think it's a bootstrapped business, and then you may suddenly realize, oh my gosh, we hit 2 million ARR in 18 months. Didn't think that was going to happen. Now suddenly, do you sell it for life-changing money, never have to work again? Or at that point, do you raise more to take another bite? And we never wanted our terms to interfere with any of those options.
I mean, one thing I'll say too is like, perception matters. So like, when I told our customers and our partners that we were joining, people were like, cool, it's awesome. But I've seen other companies in our space do like other financing things, really aggressive financing things. And I've like seen people in different group chats, things like that, be like, oh gosh, here we go. What's this going to do?
No, how it
what's
plays this out. Going to raise prices.
So I feel like, you know, it's just enough funding to open up doors or extend runway, but it also doesn't, it doesn't have like negative ramifications externally to the company. It's like, oh, that's like a really modest amount of money, and it looks like you're going to get some great advice. And oh, I actually recognize a few of those companies I've invested in. Cool. Like, so there was really no harm from that perspective, where I have seen companies make financing decisions that there is harm. There is like brand reputational like concern. People say, oh, okay. Well, like I'm where's that going to leave me? Am I the right customer for them anymore? So anyway, that's like a really not nuanced, subtle thing, but like, I really care about what we're building and, you know, actually really love our customers and consider them friends, personal friends. And so I do think those little things on the margin matter. And I do think the tiny seed is beneficial in that way, which, you know, if someone's thinking about this and they're really on the fence, that would be maybe something to think about.
In a minute, we'll get to the advice Harris wishes he would have heard before he applied to Tiny Seed. But first, I wanted to let you know that applications for Tiny Seed are now open. If you're an ambitious early stage founder with a B2B SaaS doing at least $1,000 in MRR, you should consider applying to Tiny Seed. As you've hopefully heard in this interview with Harris, you'll get the right amount of funding, join an incredible network of like-minded founders like Harris, and get access to world-class mentors to help you grow your SaaS into a life-changing business. To get all the details, head to tinyseed.com/apply. Applications are open until September 9th of 2025. But if you're watching this video after then, sign up for our email list to get notified when applications open next time. All right, let's get to the advice Harris has for other founders. Do you have any advice that you'd give someone who's applying now that maybe you wished you'd heard back then?
Something that I read from Tiny Seed documents, things like that, but I probably didn't take seriously enough, was the encouragement to just apply. If you're not sure, if you're on the fence, it's not going to be held against you. If you think you're building the kind of business Tiny Seed might be interested in, you should apply. Now, fortunately, I had some additional people who encouraged me to apply that didn't work for Tiny Seed itself, who were like, no, they actually really mean that. You really should apply. But I would say that is not just window dressing. Like, they really mean it. Like, send the application in. There's no harm. It shouldn't take that long to fill out. And if it does, then pause and reflect on that, because it's a pretty straightforward application. And yeah, I would say I was lucky that people told me that. I didn't believe it the first time, so I was lucky that extra people told me, and so that I did choose to apply anyway. So maybe I will be that extra person for you. You should apply. And a bunch of people apply multiple times and then get in later. You know, there's nothing, there's no harm from it, basically. And it might only just open doors for you.